a farmer in that parable about the good soil and the not so good soil, that I was struck by this thought that is the farmer's responsibility for the condition of his soil. No one else's. It's the farmer. He knows the seed is coming. He knows that it's going to be time to plant. And if he neglects the ground, the seed is worthless. If we neglect our ground, the Word of God in many ways is a very difficult time penetrating. If we don't have our hearts prepared and have our hearts ready to hear the Word of God. And tonight I really think God has, I always think this, I guess, but I think God has some things that He wants to encourage you with, give you hope, and change your life. Change your lives. It's so easy to hear truth and log it up in our mind and not seriously take it and apply it to our life. Remember that the one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, not having become a forgetful hearer but an effectual doer, this man, this woman will be blessed in what he does. We must be effectual doers of the Word of God and we'll be blessed in what we do. Tonight, if you're going to take notes, I would encourage you to, if you have a pencil. I have an extra. There was one up here. It's gone. No, here it is. Anyone need a pencil? Everyone's got a pencil. All right. I have two titles for this tonight. The first one is a very religious one. It's Hearts on Fire with Holy Desire. And the contemporary one is What You Want is What You'll Get. Hearts on Fire with a Holy Desire, or What You Want is What You'll Get. I'd like you to look at Proverbs. Turn to Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 24. I'm sure many of you know this. Like I've said before, you know, it's so, we just need to trust God. It takes God's grace to freshly see the Word of God. You know, I don't know anything new in the Bible. All I know is things God has been speaking to me about. And so often I'm sure that we've all thought about different verses. And we need to trust God tonight. I want to ask you to do a little experiment with yourself. Say, God, tonight, I'm going to go to that verse and I'm going to pretend I know nothing about that verse. And I want you to teach me tonight afreshly. I might have had presupposed ideas about this verse. Oh yeah, I've thought about that verse. I'm sure you have thought about every verse I'm going to share tonight. You just ask God tonight, Lord, tonight I'm going to be an open mind. I'm going to have an open heart. And you just say what you want to say to me tonight. Proverbs 10:24 says, "What the wicked dreads will overtake him, what the righteous desire will be granted." Turn to Psalm 145:19. I want you to write each of these down. We're going to look at these real fast. Psalm 145, verse 19. It says, "He fulfills the desire of those who fear Him. He hears their cry and saves them." Psalm 37:4. It says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will do this." Look at Psalm 103, verse 5. It says, "Who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." Look at Psalm 145, verse 15 and 16. "The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand, and you satisfy the desires of every living thing." What do you desire? Ask yourself that tonight. I've given you 5 verses. Is that how much fun? 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 verses that make it very clear that what you desire, God will do. The desire of the righteous will be granted. The Lord grants the desires of those who fear Him. He satisfies your desires with good things. He opens His hand to satisfy the desires of every living thing. What do you desire? When I first shared this, it was around Christmas time. One of the things I was sharing with the believers was, you know, one of the reasons why I think we like Christmas so much, although we don't very often admit this, is because we're going to get something. And we know it. It's so fun to get married and then have kids. You've got to spend more, but you usually get more. And they're nicer gifts. You know, they cost a little more money, and they're a little more exquisite, maybe. The shirt's maybe not a flannel shirt. It might be a more of expensive type shirt. It's just, we like to get, don't we? In fact, I'm going to talk about this a little later, but there's a verse that says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but desire fulfilled is the tree of life." Did you know that you cannot have a healthy, vibrant life if you are not having desires satisfied in your life? Psalm 103 says that He satisfies you with good things, satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth might be renewed like the eagle. It is impossible to be youthful in spirit if there aren't desires that are being satisfied. That's one of the reasons why God wrote that. He satisfies our desires. The other spectrum is hope deferred. If you're never seeing any desire realized, then your hope is always deferred. And what does it say it does? It makes your heart sick. And that's what will happen. It leads to a decrepit, unspiritual, demoralizing, discouraging, frustrating kind of life. And that's not what God has intended. God longs to satisfy your desires. What do you desire? Ask yourself this seriously. I'm just take a moment. And I want you to think of two things in your life that you really want. I mean it, that you really want God to do. What do you desire? I've talked to people who don't have any desires. They're just wandering through life with no desires. Many Christians, you know. Oftentimes for many, it's, well, I just like to get married, man. You know, I'd like to get married. That's my desire. Or I'd like to get out of these problems that I'm in. That's my desire. I want to share with you a little bit about God and what God is like. The reason I'm talking about this is last week we talked about complacency. We talked about being hot for God. And we talked about having a vision for your life. And I think one of the hindrances, brothers and sisters, to vision in our life is the misunderstanding that God really doesn't care about our desires. We're afraid sometimes to desire because we're afraid it will never be realized. And rather than have a massive failure in our life, we would rather not desire and have that unrealized than to just have no desire at all. We would rather have no desire at all. Then at least we're safe. We don't get set up for what we think God is going to let us down over. Does that make sense? Do you understand what I'm saying? I think we've all been there. The first thing that God is He's a daddy. You know the interesting thing about the Old and New Testament is so funny. Like in Psalm 145, it says, He fulfills the desires of those who fear Him. Well, we know that He fulfills the desires of His children. You see, in the Old Testament, you weren't God's children. In the New Testament, you're God's kids. That's one of the distinct differences between the Old and the New Testament. One clear difference is that you're adopted blood relative now of God. You fear the Lord in one way or the other. I used to think, well, I wonder if I fear God enough before I can claim this promise, you know. You're a son or a daughter of the living God. And God is like us daddies and much, much more. One of my biggest thrills in life, I have to admit, is to do things for my kids and with my kids. I just love it. Last night, we went to the late movie, and we got home at midnight last night. We went out shopping for Mommy for a couple little birthday presents. She's out of the room, so I can say that. And then we went to see Over the Top with Sylvester Stallone's new movie, I wouldn't have normally gone that late, but it didn't start till 9:45, so, you know, I thought, oh, well, we're here, let's go for it. And we had a wonderful time, just a wonderful time. I just love to satisfy their desires with good things. I love it. I thrive on it. I like them to ask me for things so I can do them. And very seldom do I say no. Very seldom. Because my Father very seldom says no to me. Or He'll try to rework that desire so that He can fulfill it. And that's what I'll try to do with my children. And there's even times, I'll get to this later, well, I won't say it now. But anyway, God is like that. God is a daddy. And God has a daddy's heart. He is a father. And His longing. I was telling one sister the other day, we were talking about this, we were talking about marriage. And I said, listen, sister, what are you worrying about your father? Your father loves to marry his daughters off. Why do you worry about when you're going to get married? You've got a daddy who loves to marry his daughters off. He loves to connive and work and plan and find the best man for his daughters. Much more than your own father. And the problem so often is what we believe and what we don't believe. What we understand and what we don't understand. Proverbs says, in all you're getting, get understanding. Men die for lack of knowledge, the Bible says. And this is one of those situations. We die, we dry up, we lose hope. Because oftentimes we don't have knowledge. The right kind of understanding of God. And God is like this. God is a father. God is a daddy. As a father has compassion on his sons, so the Lord has compassion on us. That's what it says in Psalm 103. The Lord is like a father. Turn with me to James chapter 1. If you would, James chapter 1 and verse 17. James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like a shifting shadow. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all He created. I like that verse. First of all, every good and perfect gift comes from God. God, I don't know if you realize this or you think about this, meditate on it. God loves to give. We are never more like God than when we give. That is one of the most distinct characteristics of God revealed to man. There are some things and some ways that God has not yet revealed as much as He has revealed the fact that He loves to give. God demonstrates His love towards us while we yet sinners. Christ gave for us. Christ, He who is rich, became poor that we might through His poverty become rich. Jesus said it is more blessed to give than to receive. And everywhere Jesus went, He went about doing good. It was always giving of Himself. And I want you to know, that's very important because Jesus didn't go around like a consuming fire when He was on earth. He didn't go around and consume every single sinner that He saw. When the woman was standing before Him, all He said was to the men, who's ever without sin, let you throw the first stone. He said, woman, where are your accusers? She said, they're gone. He said, neither do I accuse you. Go and sin no more. Someday God won't be like that, see? Someday God will just snuff. You'll be out. You'll be gone. Your wick will be out. But at this particular time, this is the characteristic of God that God has wanted to really get across to man. That God is a compassionate God. In fact, it says in James that mercy triumphs over justice. Right now, God has allowed His mercy to triumph over His justice. Now, justice was satisfied with Christ. What I'm trying to get across is God loves to give. That is the way God is. He loves to give. And God cares about our desires. You want to be like God? You husbands, you give. What does it say in Ephesians? Husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church and gave Himself for her. There's nothing more characteristic of a Christ-like husband than a husband who's giving to his wife. She's first. He's laying down his life for her. I try to ask myself, Lord, what am I giving up today for my wife? What area of that self-will, something I've wanted, that I'm giving up for my wife? And this is our command. This is very, very, very interesting. So God, I want to make it really clear. God loves to give. I wrote this down. My children's desires are like a key to my will and my heart. My children's desires are like a key to my will and my heart. They open it up. They turn it. They turn it. And you don't think you have power with God? How much power do you think Moses had when he turned the very plan and will of God from destroying all of the Jews? Moses had a part in that. Moses stood in the gap. God had it was set. He was going to destroy the Jews. And Moses reasoned with God. And God changed his mind. Now we can theologize all day. Well, you know, God just, he was going to do it anyway. And maybe he was. But the point was, is that God didn't record it that way. God recorded it in the sense that it appears that Moses changed the heart of God. The mindset that God was going to do at that time. In other words, God is touchable. God has a movable heart. He's moved by our desires and our prayers. God is moved. He's reachable. My father and mother were a tremendous example in this. I mean, I don't consider myself spoiled in any way, shape, or form. But my father, I mean, he'd give me the shirt off his back. He just always had, he worked so hard. But he always had time for me. He always had time to give him himself. Man, he used to be the catcher for me. I was going to be a star pitcher, and he used to be the catcher for me and squat on those 35-year-old legs, you know, all the time. Squat. Okay, he went out and bought a catcher's mitt so I wouldn't hurt his hand anymore. You know, and he'd catch and catch. And he'd pass to me. He'd let me run out for passes, and then he'd run out for passes. And all the time, he was just always working with me. Whatever I wanted to do, you know, he was available to do it. And I remember the first time he brought my first leather football home, you know. Back then they didn't have Nerf, and if they would have, I would have never gone for it. I don't like that fake stuff. You know, I wanted the real thing, the whole whopping big official-size football. Leather, had to be leather, no rubber stuff. Had to be leather, smell leather, you know, and hurt and sting when it hits your hands. I liked that. I felt big and grown up. My dad, that's what he went out and got, a Spalding leather football. And boy, he threw that to me, threw it to me. They got run over, he got me another one, you know. My father, I always knew that about my father. My father gave and gave and gave. So did my mother. She'd give and give and give and give. This is the way God is. This is the way God is. He has no different daddies than you. He's just a lot more perfect. But we were created in His image. And so we reflect certain parts of God. That's one of them. I want to give you three examples tonight. Three people who got what they desired. We're going to look at what they got and how they got it. First, turn to Mark chapter 1. Verse 40. Mark chapter 1 and verse 40. It says, a man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "Oh Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man, saying, "I am willing, be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured. Here we have a man, had leprosy, okay? And, you know, I want you to understand this about lepers. Lepers knew their place. It was very, very wrong for a leper to be anywhere but where the lepers lived. And here's this leper who leaves his place and comes to Jesus. He had to be seeking out Jesus. Because it says here in verse 39, he traveled throughout Galilee preaching in their synagogues. So he's probably near the synagogue. That was the last place in the world the leper was supposed to be. And here this leper comes seeking out Jesus with a desire on his heart. He wanted to be well. He wanted to be well real bad. And I like this. Obviously, there was something, though, he didn't really understand about Jesus. It's revealed by his question. He says, "Well, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean." As if Jesus wouldn't have been willing. And Jesus says, "I'm willing. I'm willing. Be clean. You don't have to worry about my willingness. I'm willing. You be clean." Look at, I wanted to quote this out of the Phillips version. Jesus' comment of in the Phillips version is this. It says, and Jesus said, of course I want to be clean. Of course I want to. That's the thrust. Well, my goodness, of course. I'd love to. I'd love to. Look with me at Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10 and verse 46. Mark chapter 10 and verse 46. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, that is the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And many people rebuked him and told him to shut up. But he shouted all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and said, call him. Call him over here. So they called the blind man, cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked him. Rabbi, I want to see. Go, said Jesus, your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Here again is a man with a burning desire. What would have you done if someone would have come along and rebuked you for your desire? Many, many people rebuked you for your desire. Most of us probably wouldn't have jumped up. Most of us probably wouldn't have continued to make a fool of ourselves and screamed the louder for Jesus to have mercy on us. It was the second cry after the many rebukes that got Jesus' attention. And he calls him over, and I just love this. I just love, what do you want me to do for you, son? What do you want me to do for you today? What can I do for you? And Bartimaeus says, I want to see. And Jesus said, go. Go. Third one I want to look at is in Mark 5. This one is one of my favorites. I think about this an awful lot. The sick woman, the woman with the hemorrhage. Verse 24. So Jesus went with them. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. We're talking large. We're talking very large. Probably 10,000 people at least around Jesus. Five, even if it was five. It was huge. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors, and she had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. Now let's analyze this woman's situation for a minute. First of all, she's a woman. Probably what people have anyway supposed that she had was a continual menstrual bleeding all the time. She bled, bled, and bled. First of all, it would have been very embarrassing. It would have been very weakening. A very weakening situation. And the last place I would have wanted to have been, you women can relate to this, is in a large crowd. That's the last place I would have wanted to be. And here's this woman. She spent every nickel and dime that she's had on her desire. Every nickel and dime is gone. And she didn't get a dime better. She got worse. All of her hopes were gone. But she was always open to a new ray of hope, and she heard about this guy, Jesus. And so here she is. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I'll be healed. That's more faith than Bartimaeus had. You know, she just kind of knew Jesus just emanates power, you know. And here she is, I can just see her pushing through this crowd of people to get to Jesus. I mean, you got to understand, it's not easy to get next to the president. And it wasn't easy to get next to Jesus. It took a lot of hard work. And she's probably losing blood the whole time. And she gets to Jesus with this thought in her mind, if I could just touch his clothes, I'll be well. She was, and I'll be healed. Immediately her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? You know, you think this guy was a madman. That's what the disciples thought. And I can just hear Peter, oh, come on, Lord. You know, look at you see these people crowding around you and you ask, who touched me? You know, come on, Jesus. Let's think a little bit. That's the way he said it. And I want you to know that. It was very sarcastic kind of, you know, come on, Jesus. What are you talking about? But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Jesus always loves to make a big deal out of people's faith. He always likes to make a big deal out of somebody's faith. And so, the woman, knowing what happened to her, came and fell at his feet, trembling with fear. See, even though this woman had faith, she still didn't understand what kind of guy Jesus was, and she wouldn't have become trembling with fear. So he told her the whole truth. He said, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. I think that's really interesting with this woman. The reason I wanted to share these things with you is, first of all, I wanted to help us analyze these together. All of these people had a common desire. But it was a big desire. And every one of them could have easily lost hope. Every one of them could have easily decided, hey, my desire is not worth it. My desire isn't worth pursuing. And I'll just kind of forget about it. I'll just leave it. Little did they know that their desires was working for the glory and honor of God. And remember when Jesus, the disciples asked about the one guy who was blind, he said, Jesus, who sinned, his parents or this man? He said, well, neither, but this has happened for the glory of God. This has happened for the glory of God. And so God works through our desires to bring Him glory, to give Him a lot of glory. And this is what spurs me on about these people. And I'll ask again, just ask yourself, what do you desire? What do you want God to do for you? What things are you asking God to do for you? You know, Brent and I were visiting the other day, and he shared a good verse with me I wanted to share with you tonight. In Proverbs, it relates to this. In Proverbs chapter 21. You know, God, you see, God wants you to desire. God wants you to ask Him for things. How many of you have trouble? You don't raise your hand, but I'm sure we can all relate, have trouble in your prayer life. It's hard sometimes to keep praying. It's hard sometimes to keep pressing. You know, one of the reasons, we talked about this last week, but the biggest reason is because we don't want something bad enough. We just simply don't want something bad enough to keep praying about it. And I want you to understand, these people wanted well. They weren't just kind of, you know, the blind guy wasn't just kind of sitting there. I'm sure that blind guy thought every day of his life, oh, I'd love to be able to see. I would love to be able to do for myself. I would love to be able to quit begging. I would love to have my sight. And when the time came, his desire was hot. And he got what he wanted. I'm sure that's true with the woman too. Proverbs chapter 21. And verse 25 and 26. It says, the sluggard's craving will be the death of him because his hand refuses to work. All day long he craves for more, but the righteous give without sparing. Another version says, the sluggard's desire kills him because he refuses to work all day long. He desires, but the righteous give without sparing. The New American Standard says in the side margin, in verse 26, all day long he desires desire, but the righteous give without sparing. Have you ever talked to someone and they said, well, you know, I'm not really willing to do that yet, but I'll be willing to be willing. And they pray and they ask God, God, oh, make me willing. You don't need to pray and ask God to make you willing. You have a willing spirit. It's all a matter of whether or not you want to use it. And it's laziness not to desire. It's simply and plainly laziness. Being sluggardly in our lives. And we think, oh God, I wish I could be like so-and-so. Oh, you know, I wish. I desire that I desire. You can desire it. What do you want? What do you want? You see, the righteous man, and that's what God has made us, he just gives without spending. He gives. The thought I got from that is he gives himself wholly to his desire, and he doesn't refuse to work at all. He throws his whole self into it, body, soul, mind, and spirit. You know, he's just always giving. Always giving. Giving himself. The other kind of desire, just desiring desires, just kind of wishing one day it will kind of hit us, you know. It's kind of like being an elder or something, or you know, whatever it might be in your life, thinking, well, I wished that I wanted it that bad. The point is, start wanting it that bad. Set your heart on it. That's what the Bible says in Timothy. If any man sets his heart on it, it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. That word set your heart on means to passionately want. That's what it means. The point is that it's righteous to want it. It's godly to want it. It's ungodly not to want it. That's the point. God wants us to want, wants us to have desires. And He wants to fulfill those desires, but He cannot fulfill that which is not desired for. And He will never do that. He will never, never do that. God operates based on our faith in our lives. God operates. Now, oftentimes I've seen in my life, I was believing God for something, and, you know, again, God is kind of like a mother. He kind of likes to put a little more icing on the cake than you really thought you'd get. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, you got the car, but maybe it had mag wheels too. You know, or I remember when I was praying for our car, and we got the car, but I really wasn't praying for a delay wipers and a rear window defogger. You know, they just kind of thrown in. Or for how pretty I think it is. You know, just all kinds of things. God is that way. But God can only begin to operate when we believe Him and ask Him. And I want to show you why this is true. If you turn with me to Matthew 7. Matthew 7 and verse 7. It says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be open. Now listen, which of you, if his son..." Here we go now, the daddy and son relationship. "Which of you, if his son said, 'Hey, Dad, can I have some bread?' you'd give him a stone?" You know, this is so simple that we miss it. We really do. We miss it. I mean, now think about it for a minute, you fathers, you mothers. If little baby asks you for some milk, you're going to give him gas. Gasoline. You know, if your little kid asks you for... I mean, isn't it absurd? And you laugh. But we don't laugh when we think about it with God. We think God's not going to come through. I'm not going to ask. I'm going to quit asking. And God uses the most simplistic thing. The point is that it gets to your heart. You wouldn't give your kid a stone. What kind of ungodly individual would it be? Not even the most ungodly individual. Well, there might be some. Would give the kid a rock. And a little kid, you know, he'd eat it. See, that's the point too. A little kid doesn't know any better. He's trusting and he'd eat it. He'd swallow it. I've seen kids swallow rocks. We used to have a little friend, neighbor girl down the street, and she'd come and take a soda cracker and put it underneath a leaky gas tank. She liked the taste and the smell, and then she'd eat them. She'd pick up worms and eat them. You know, kids will do anything. That's the point. And so we have to look out for them, don't we? God has to look out for you. He says, "Or if he asked for a fish, you'd give him a snake." Imagine that. You know, your little son or daughter asks for a fish and you give them a viper. I just can't, you know, we can't imagine that. "If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? So in everything, do to others that you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets." I thought that was interesting. He threw that in. God does to you what He would like you to do to Him. Did you know that? God wants you to ask, and it'll be given. God wants you to seek. And listen, if you haven't gotten, you have not, James says, because you ask not. And you have not because you want to spend it on your own foolish desires. I'm not telling anyone here tonight now, but put this on record. You start asking God for that pink Rolls Royce that you've always been wanting. You ask God for that new 75-inch color television, you know, and God's going to give it. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I don't ever believe that. Unless, in the incredible working of God, it would advance His kingdom, then I don't believe it would be a thing that would stop it. But very seldom have I seen that asked to advance the kingdom of God. I think that an Oldsmobile would do the trick. You know? But there's many, 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 many other things. Please don't let those few things squelch your asking. Please don't let a few things that you think, well, God don't care about that, God don't care about this. Listen, I want to tell you something. How personal God is. When we were going to move up here to Minneapolis, we had been living in this trailer for the last 3.5 years. And it was a small trailer for 5 people. And it had it was a wonderful building experience in our lives, to say the least. I mean, the wonderfulness of it was that it was only $75 a month rent. Okay, that gives you a little idea what the place was like. And anyway, but that was all, literally all we could afford. It was all we could do, so that's where we lived. But it had many, 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 many idiosyncrasies. It leaked. The furnace would... I have a pile. I saved them all. A heaping pile about this big of matches from trying to light the pilot to get the pilot. You know, sometimes it go off at 4 in the morning and I just didn't have the $200 to fix it. I had an 11-gallon water heater. And so in 7 minutes after my hot shower, there was no water for another hour and a half. You know, you could hear everything that went on in the trailer. I haven't had an office of my own in 3.5 years. You know, I had a place to get away. You just hear everything. Everybody's... things is everybody's in a trailer. You know, you don't go to the bathroom alone. You don't do nothing alone with kids. Of course, you singles are all going to find it out when you get married anyway. Your privacy is gone. You don't have any privacy. It's one of the reasons I love marriage so much and families is you learn that your rights go out the window. They either go out the window or you die. It'll make you or break you. That's what I like about it. You know, right now we have private lives. I don't have a private life. You know, someone walks in the bathroom, oh, hey, sorry, Dad. You know, or but for a long time, it was just everybody went together, you know. It's mass meeting in the bathroom, you know. And anyway, so we're living in this trailer, and I could go on and on all night about the different trials we had in the trailer. But I won't. But I can tell you that my desire was good and ready to be in a bigger place. Okay? 684 square feet. It's about 50 more square feet than my living room and kitchen is now. And I really desired that. I desired it. I want you to know this so sincerely. I desired it more for my family than for me. I knew that my children were needing more room. I knew that my wife, my first month of being a pastor, half of it I was sick. And I was there 24 hours a day, and I finally began to realize what my wife had been enduring for 3.5 years, every day, without saying anything about it. Oh man, I thought it was going to go batty. You know, there were days I really did. The heater would come on and off and off and on, and I couldn't breathe. It was stuffy. I think that's one of the reasons why we were sick so often too. By the way, we could never get it out of the place. So anyway, then I found I was going to move up here, and simplistically, we started to pray for some specific things. We wanted a place that was big enough to have our whole team get together. We wanted to have at least 2+ bedrooms. We wanted a garage. We wanted a big yard. We wanted lots of trees. We wanted a fireplace. And we wanted carpeting. And we wanted a finished basement. And we were praying specifically for those things. And I remember I got up here and Brent and I, we got to talking. And he goes, he says, we'll go around and look. So we go around and look, and I could see why his sentiment, man. I mean, the first place I looked at for $500, like $580. Oh, and the biggie was between $500 and $550 a month. That's what I wanted to pay in rent. You got to understand, when you've only been paying $75 a month, to go to $300 was like, well, $300, you know? And so anyway, I'm looking around, and the first place I went to is, you know, I just... But as we were walking out, he goes, oh, he didn't like it, huh? Because he knows me, usually I exclaim, and I just kind of walked around. No, this is nice, sir. This is, yeah, well, I'll think about it. I just thought, I looked around the neighborhood, and I thought, oh, man, you know, I already live in a ghetto. I mean, you know, we already kind of, the trailer court's the worst one in Ames. And I thought, no, this just won't work. So, we looked at another one, and I kind of liked this other one, but we couldn't get in, and it was $570 a month. It was over on Nicollet, but it was a real small yard. It was on a real, real busy street, and it didn't have much of a yard, backyard, but it was cute, and it had a fireplace, so that was important. So but it was one of the first ones we looked at, and we thought, well, let's not make the decision on the first one. So I went and looked at another one. The guy went to $590. It turns out it was a double bungalow, and a place was a living dive. It was unbelievable. Just, I mean, I couldn't believe it. It crawled. It was so living. And it was bad, you know. So I went to the next place, and it was this huge Bachman Florist. It was the old Bachman Florist mansion, okay? Well, it's right across the street from a big cemetery, and the backyard is Bachman's parking lot. But the house is neat from the outside. The living room was purple. The kitchen was pink. The dining room was bright green. It had a fireplace. It had tons of room. And I just about vomited. I thought, oh, man. And he was willing to come down to $600 a month. And I thought, oh, man. You know, so I thought, this is, wow. Lord, help. You know. And, you know what it's like. I tried the business. I tried to pay the money, you know, to get it through the apartment guide. And just made my head swim looking at all these codes. I thought, come on. You'd sit there looking through. A stands for, let's see. Okay, carpeting it. Oh, and Z stand. Oh yeah, fenced yard. Okay, and I'd be going down, and I gotta admit, I wasn't real motivated to be sitting there going through this thing. So, and the papers were dead end. And you know what it's like when you look for a place in the city like this in Ames? You kind of just zip zip. Oh yeah, like that. No, zip zip like that one. But when you're looking up here, it's like, you know, when I'd come down to Brent, it'd have all these places circled, you know. And so I'd start calling them. So finally, it's the last trip I was going to be able to make up here. And he had this one circled. It was a two-plus bedroom brick house, charming brick home, electric garage door opener, wooded private lot, two fireplaces for $525 a month. And my eyes bugged out. Brent had a big circle around that one. I thought, wow, you know, I got to tell you, we went to look at this one place for $550? And where was it? It was in St. Paul. And what section of St. Paul was that in? Oh, I've never been in a place. Well, it wasn't Harlem. But it was close. All the windows on the neighbors had boards on them, you know. And the street, I went to stop, and they didn't even de-ice the roads in that section of town. It was just, you know, and Brent's going, I think we're going to make it, Mark. And we went right on through the stop sign. And oh, it was bad. The house was like from here to here next to the next one, you know. And it was just, it was rickety. And the guy had the gall to want $570 a month. I couldn't believe it. So we left. So anyway, we went to look at this place. And I called the lady, and it was this apartment finding place, you know. And no, it was Molitor & Associates in Edina, this big real estate company. So she said, well, you have to go look at the place. So I said, yes, ma'am. And we drove out to Old Shakopee Road, look at the place. I mean, I pulled in the driveway and I'm drooling, you know. I just, wow, man, this is a place. Oh, the other thing I had been praying was that, you know how it is, by the way, I don't know if you know this or not, but God can use your feelings. You just have to be careful with them. But you know how it is when you find something, you just know it's right. It's just that relaxed euphoria that seems to come over you going, my search is over, you know. That's also something I was just asking God to confirm it. So we pulled in this drive, and it was just like, wow, this is unbelievable. So we go peeking in the windows, not knowing that someone was there or someone lived in there. I thought it was empty, you know. So we're looking in, and why, look at that living room, man. And we looked in the basement, and you could see that was a little knotty pine down there. And I'm looking around the backyard, and I'm just, wow, you know. And brick, you know, this is just I don't believe this. So I thought, well, I want it. That's all. I don't even need to go in the house. It's, you know, I don't need to go in the house. This is the one. So we go to this lady. We stopped at Holiday Inn by the Met Center. I called the lady and said, ma'am, I said, I want that house. It's rented. She said, well, I'm sorry, sir, it's not. I said, well, what do you mean it's not? So, well, you have to apply for it. We have to approve you. I said, you got to approve me? I said, I just give you the money. She said, I'm sorry, sir, we need references. I thought, oh, my goodness. I said, well, all right, she said, you got to go to the house tonight to the showing. Let him show it to you. And then you got to come tomorrow and bring us your references. And then we'll let you know in a week. I said, a week? I said, ma'am. I said, I'm going back tomorrow. And I'm not going to be able to get back up here. She goes, well, you bring him in a day and we'll try and give you an answer Monday morning. So I went that evening. This was Thursday night. And then I got real sick Thursday. And I got up in the middle of the night and threw up. I just was feeling awful. And I had to get up the next morning and write this thing out, you know. So I thought, I'm really going to give it to them. If they want some I'm really going to tell them all about my family and all about everything. So I write this long little diary, you know. And I took it to this woman, and Anyway, she said, the woman you need to talk to is out. So I called Monday afternoon, I'm sorry, nothing. I called Tuesday, I'm sorry, we don't have anything. Called Tuesday now, no, I don't have nothing. Called Wednesday morning, I'm sorry, we just don't have any information. I thought, I wonder if I'm getting a runaround. And so we kept praying. And my little daughter, Celeste, she walked up to Kathy and she said, you know, Mommy, I just know God wants to do us good and He's going to provide more than we've asked for. I just know that, Mommy. And I was really struck, my little daughter, you know, had that kind of a mentality. So Thursday they called and said, well, listen, you're the one we want to have the house, but we've got to get a hold of the lady. She's overseas. First they told me she's overseas. Then it turns out she lives in California. So finally Friday, and this whole week, it was really ironic. I was very sick. I'd never been so sick. I couldn't move hardly. And I wouldn't have been able to come back up here and look for a place if I'd wanted to. Turns out that this woman said we could have the house. A lot of you have been there. The other night we had 42 people in the house. We still had room. That was in the downstairs. It's just incredible how God cares about our desires. And I have to say, in the past, I'll be honest with you, I've never wanted to stick my neck out on a limb like that before, because I was afraid God really wouldn't come through. And I've talked to Dennis and Thelma, shared with me so many times. My wife, she writes out a list. She prays for all these things for the house, prays for this, and we ask for this. And I used to think, oh man, I do that, but I'm afraid it wouldn't happen. And then I'd really be discouraged. First time I tried that was with our car, and it happened. And so I thought, I'm going to try this with the house. God was faithful. During that week, another little thing, I just want you to know that God cares about our desires. I've been wanting to get a vacuum cleaner for my wife for a long time, one that she didn't have to use her back for, you know, that kind of would work itself. And I really wanted to get her a Kirby, but you all know how much Kirbys cost. So I thought, well, I was real sick, I'll look through the advertiser this particular week. And so I was looking through the advertiser, and this guy had his Kirby, 1982 Kirby, for sale. So I call on the phone, he goes, and the wife said, yeah, we want to sell it. I said, what do you want for it? He said, well, we want $100. I said, $100? I said, what, did you wear it out? And she goes, oh, no. She said, we just had a death in the family, and we just inherited a brand new one. So I thought, I bet she'd take less for it. So I said, would you take less for it? She said, well, let me ask my husband. So he gets on the phone and says, well, what did you have in mind? I said, how about $60? And he goes, well, how about $75? And I said, all right. I said, let me call you back a little later. My wife's gone. And when she gets back, I'll ask her. Well, the reason I needed to ask my wife is because she had the checkbook, and I needed to make sure I could cover this before my other check came, so I didn't bounce a check. But in the meantime, I called Mike Rorson, who's a friend of mine, to see if he could go to Nevada, because that's where it was, and look at it for me. I trust his judgment. If he thought it was good, to buy it. Well, Mike called me back before my wife got home, or after my wife got home. I said, oh, Mike, forget it. I said, I don't need you to do it. He said, well, no, what's wrong? I said, well, I wanted you to go look at a vacuum for me, but just forget it. I don't want you to now. He said, well, usually Mike doesn't do this. He goes, well, why? What's wrong? He goes, well, I don't have the money. He goes, well, how much was it? I said, well, it was $75. He says, well, listen, we were going to give you a going away present of $100. And so if you'd like, I'll go get it for you. So Mike gets on a car and gets over there, and he brings back this most extravagant 9 bags. It's got permanent bag, 9 unpermanent bags. Comes with a box and all the attachments. I call the guy the next day and ask him what it would cost to replace. He said, it's $875 for what you got. He said, you stole the thing. I said, no, I really didn't. I just asked for it, you know. But what I'm getting at, brother and sister, is this. God cares about your desires, all right? I've desired other things that would seem a lot more spiritual. But I believe all our desires God wants to fulfill, and He wants to answer prayer. And I just want to instill that in you tonight, to be asking God for things, to make everything in your life a matter of prayer. Paul commands us to do that. And I wrote this down, and with this I end. This truth could change a dull, boring life into an exciting and refreshing one. Every day when we get with the Lord and pray, we should remember God's question, what do you want me to do for you? And that with childlike faith, we should ask and anticipate the goodness of God. And then I wrote this down. You may not always get exactly what you want, but God will always satisfy your desire with good things. If He doesn't get you what you ask for, it'll be something better if you don't grow weary and lose heart. Let's thank the Lord for our time.